You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
This is Matt Parrott with the Daily Traditionalist. Your regular host, Matthew Heimbach, is actually at the inauguration, so you're stuck with me and my co-host, Jason Augustus. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
As you can hear the sirens in the background, Donald Trump is officially the president. He has not announced himself God Emperor yet. We're still waiting on that one. He can't have it all at once here. But already, all of the homosexuals are being rounded up. I see the vans. Actually, there aren't too many immigrants and minorities around here, but I think those are all going to be in train cars. But we have panel vans rounding up all of the homosexuals, transsexuals, bisexuals, you name it. What an amazing this. I mean, this is the actual event, Jason's very much a Trump skeptic, and I'm a Trump skeptic too. And I know a lot of our listeners out there are Trump skeptics. And I know he ain't the full deal, but I'm just going to spend the next half hour, and you might want to tune out now if you're not down with this, just really looking back at what an incredible victory this has been. It's not the complete victory. I'm not saying it is. But this is a huge victory for nationalism in America. In the West, if you were to roll back 2 years ago and imagine us here today at this moment, while I'm talking, you're probably not listening to me live because you're probably listening to Donald Trump at this very moment swearing in as president of the United States. Wow, just wow.
Wow! Yep, here he comes, God Emperor. God Emperor is being inaugurated, and we are all in awe. I couldn't believe it. I was up last night, one of my sleepless times. I'm seeing in New York City, Mayor de Blasio was at the anti-Trump protest. I'm like, well, my old mayor at an Antifa rally. I'm so glad I'm not there. And it's just a good day to see all the butthurt. And the wonderful taste of victory. Even though, like you said, it's not a complete victory, but I'm going to have to take it.
This is a big day for racist New Yorkers, and you should, as a racist New Yorker,
yes.
Donald Trump is from New York, and Indiana. If you just look at how much Indiana had to do with this, Mike Pence, our governor, is now his vice president. If you look back at the primaries, the day that Donald Trump won Indiana decisively, crushing Ted Cruz, was really the day he won the primaries. That's the day that Ted Cruz admitted defeat. That's the day when it was clear that he was going to secure the nomination. And just watching all this, it's been so local. I mean, we were right there. Back in 2015, when I think you understand where I'm coming from, this was kind of a joke. It was kind of like Trump's saying all this over the top stuff. Let's troll Jeb Bush. Let's troll the guys who are actually going to win with this over the top candidate of ours that's kind of speaking to our issues. And so many of our listeners out there are the people behind those anonymous Twitter accounts who just mercilessly wrecked the GOP establishment with a message of nationalism, a message of identity, an America first message that resonated so powerfully that it overcame so many obstacles. And here we are today. And this is very much the beginning. But this is an exciting beginning. And this is America's first step into the next world order after this new world order, alongside Brexit, alongside what's happening in Eastern Europe, where countries all over the world are fighting back against globalism. I mean, Donald Trump even said, how do you word it? we will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism?
I thought he said we must remove the Jew from all free nations of the world. I thought that's what I heard.
You know, he's going to get there. That's going to be, you know, he's got 8 years here. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Barack Obama pretended he wasn't pro-gay, you know, and then later on he went, you know, pro-gay after he got into office. That's what Trump's going to do. He's going to, you know, he's going to put Jared Kushner, his own son-in-law, in the oven on live television.
No, that's what I'm waiting for is for that flip-flop to happen and then just everybody comes out with the Pence hates fag signs.
But no, it's definitely a big, it's always a big day for me as a political junkie. I mean, you know, politics is Hollywood for ugly people. And this is like the Oscars for me, kind of. I'm sorry, I'm too giddy about this, but at the same time, like, this is huge. And this is a shock to the political establishment. Are they all done for? No. In a lot of ways, as we've seen, Trump is working within the system. But, you know, I think I'd like your input on this, Jason. I'm so sorry. I'm so giddy. I'm just talking. what do you think Trump's priorities are going to be versus what they should be in the first couple of weeks in office?
Oh, man, what I think they should be, very different than what's going to happen.
Well, try to put on your reasonable, like, what he can get away with cap. We don't even have the ovens you're talking about.
Oh, man, no ovens.
No ovens.
I was kind of thinking he had, like, the crankle ready for the wall on the Mexican border. It was just going to go up. Because he did say that was, like, the first thing he was going to do initially. Oh, the practical things that I would hope that he could do is at least something to do with our jobs. Like, I know that he's already returned a few jobs to our country, and that was cool. I would like to see a little bit more of that. I would like to see a little bit, just a little bit of a clampdown, just maybe, on the Black Lives Matter riots that are, like, you know, happening as we're having this podcast.
Yeah, right now, cool. as we speak, leftist degenerates are attacking random people and breaking random storefronts. And that's a beautiful thing to think that so many on the left are just so distraught right now that they're just running around crying and breaking stuff.
Yeah, like the radical leftists, this is what blew me away, is that, like, you would expect this from radical leftists, you would expect this from Black Lives Matter, and, you know, Al Sharpton coming out, of course, rattling them on. But what really, really is mind-blowing is the representatives of a lot of these bigger cities are coming out to support the people that are doing the riots.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, hey, guys, you know, we stand you know, you guys are real American, so we got to fight back. So, yeah, they're, like, basically handing them the brick to throw through the window.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of this thing. And you know, these sanctuary cities with the mayors who are coming down hard against Trump, saying he's not a legitimate president. And that whole, like, legitimate president thing, I mean, you know, I'm not even for democracy. If America got dissolved tomorrow, that'd be great, whatever. But it's especially sweet. The tears being cried right now are especially tasty because they spent so much time building up this whole narrative of when Trump loses, he better respect the results. I mean, you remember that.
Yeah.
Like, Hillary was like, now you're going to be a proper sport about this and you're going to not destabilize our democracy or threaten the system. You know, you agreed to the rules. And now, like, and you know, I try to hate the Jews, but to some extent, I got to give props to Bernie. Bernie actually was like, you know, he won outright. Let's suck it up and continue battling against him and just drop this whole, like, illegitimate president thing.
I'm on the fence with Bernie. I really, like, because, you know, he did have a lot of things that he had a lot of things to say that I agreed with. Obviously, a lot more things that I did not. I think the biggest reason I couldn't get behind him, obviously, is because he belongs to that special tribe
Oh yeah, I agree, and you know he goes in the oven too.
Yeah,
but at the same time, he is an authentic socialist. He's an international socialist. He's a Jewish socialist. He's on the side of Zionism, even though he kind of paws around with being kind of critical of Israel. But at the end of the day, he's very much part of the Zionist network. But unlike Hillary, unlike so much of the neoliberal machine, he did make an attempt to speak to actual economic issues throughout his campaign. And in a lot of ways, I think he might have actually won if Hillary hadn't stolen the nomination.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt that. And I think it probably would have been a lot more interesting instead of just seeing a poor little old lady get beaten the heck out of. if Bernie would have actually went to see a real debate, those three big debates between Trump and Bernie, it would have been a lot more entertaining, especially, but it was telling of how corrupt our system was with how much went into propping up Hillary Clinton as though that was a legitimate candidate. I mean, everybody, even back in New York City, the biggest lefties in the world were like, really? Really, how did this happen? That actually happened. I was that was their wow, just wow moment that I was wow, just wowing with them.
Now, speaking of debates, you would have liked to take place. Heimbach yesterday during all this actually managed to confront two Antifa. And for all you people, there's a link at the website for this podcast to show you this. There were cops everywhere, all around. So if you're mad at Heimbach for politely conversing with these guys rather than punching them, please be mindful that we're really trying hard to not get Heimbach arrested. So, and he's trying to not get arrested. So he was civil with these people who should be punched. But, you know, you got to play the game. And then there was a surprise. Just kind of walk me through Heimbach's encounter yesterday.
Heimbach's encounter was, oh man, that was him at the top of his game, intellectually, you know, and also, like you said, you know, he was really holding himself well. You know how anti-Semitic Heimbach is, and he didn't. He didn't raise his fist one time. He actually just, these two Antifa come up to him, or at least one of them's Antifa, the other's a leftist. They're trying to make some sort of distinction like that even matters. And Heimbach wasn't even entertaining it. He was just like running them through just why they're wrong. Here's why you're wrong. And here's an alternative. So it was kind of, and then the Zionist Jew comes over and tries talking about something about spiritual Zionism. Heimbach's like, no, I'm good. No.
Oh, he just wrecked that guy. But, you know, the two leftists, they started out kind of arguing. A couple of critical points in the debate which were important. And one is like, where the leftist is like, so basically you're a fascist, but you don't admit you're a fascist. And Heimbach was like, no.
Oh, no, I'm a fascist.
I'm a fascist. And the leftist was on the back foot. He's like, wait, my word didn't stop him. I don't even know what to do now. But to this kid's credit, for an Antifa degenerate, he was, he tried really hard and he seemed like a bright kid. But the bottom line is, no matter how smart you are, when the other person is correct and on top of their facts, you're going to lose the argument. And that's what, you know, Heimbach was able to, and that's why, you know, Heimbach is especially valuable. Heimbach was able to argue within leftist themes and language for National Socialism. You know, he was able to use their own themes and turn them around on them. Because, you know, National Socialism isn't a conservative ideology. It's beyond liberalism and conservatism. So the great thing about National Socialism is you can argue for the same point. And sort of, if you watch the video, if you just kind of tune out what he's specifically what he's getting at, he almost sounds like a liberal. He sounds like a leftist when he's arguing these national socialist talking points, because it is about the people, it's about the worker, it's about the jobs.
Right.
And it's against capitalism.
Well, yeah, Antifa and all the like, all the assorted leftists, they operate off of the Hollywood narrative of what a national socialist is and not what a national socialist actually is. And I really think Heimbach articulated our positions as national socialists in a very clear and concise way, and really tore down that Hollywood narrative that they've been carrying around with them their whole lives. And you could see the look on their faces when they just, it all just came falling down. They're like, but I called you a Nazi.
Well, and then, like you said, this Jew rolls up right on time, just when you thought it couldn't get any better. And he starts going on with the Zionism. And Heimbach directly confronts him with how imperialist, genocidal, and hypocritical the Zionist, the Jewish regime is. And the guy, he's totally unprepared for it. He just starts like, what's funny is Jews seem like they're such good debaters, and you hear so much about their verbal IQ, but they're not creative. And you see this in these debates. If you throw them off their script, and you actually can almost like see him like short-circuiting, like you can almost see his eye twitch. As Heimbach has broken his script and attacked him with talking points he expects from the left, and they're actually coming from the right, and he's got no direction to go with it. So he just short circuits and starts like rambling about like fighting hate with Muslims and Christians. And Heimbach's like, well, I mean, yeah, if you guys kill all the other people, I guess you'll kill their hate too, because they'll be dead. And the guy's just like, yeah, well, the Muslims and Christians, we gather them together, and we have them pick up weeds, and the weeds are symbolically the hate in everyone's heart. And it's like, dude, you are making such an ass of yourself, and you know it.
Yeah, it was really pathetic. I mean, it's always pathetic for me to watch Jews do anything, but to watch them try to defend Zionism, especially against someone like Heimbach. Like, are you out of your mind, dude? Do you know who you're talking to? That was really, really entertaining to watch. Was just like in the most symbolic, as the Jew would say, format. The Jew versus the nationalist. It was just what really crumbles.
Right. Well, of course, we got the alt-right's got a lot of credit for this, but what the hell is the alt-right, of course? Everybody's got a different definition. The Deplorable is a large event that's been held last night, and it was very much for the kosher alt-right. This was Mike Cernovich, and Milo, and all these just like random Republicans who dove in to support Trump at the last minute, who call themselves alt-right. And a lot of them got attacked. Gavin McGinnis, bless his heart, he actually threw some hands back. It wasn't. I'm kind of torn. You watched the McGinnis video. He was wearing a full suit, and it was kind of like an impromptu thing. Gavin's very much opposed to questioning the Jewish issue. He does have some funny. I don't know if you've watched some of his stuff, but he does do some good takedowns of a lot of diversity and degeneracy bullshit. But at the end of the day, he's very much a protector of Zionism and globalism when it comes down to brass tacks. He's always complaining about Nazis. But another guy wasn't so lucky, and he actually got sent to the hospital by Antifa. And my thought is, you know, that's kind of what happens when you denounce your hardliners and skinheads and good old boy working class types who actually, you know, protect you. They expected the cops to protect them, which these rich kids always do. And it turns out that the cops can't always protect you.
Yeah, you know, it's their alt-right, the people who like to take the heads off the Hydra but never go for the heart. There's plenty of them. There's no shortage of them. They're growing, and I guess they have their place. You can say that they have their place. Everybody's got a place. It's true. It's just the objective reality here is that they're like the bubble boy. You know, you're in there. Yes, you can scream out, but the only thing protecting you is that little bubble there. And if you upset the wrong people, they're going to attack you. If you're not ready to fight back, you're going to get torn up. I do see a lot of merit in, you know, especially just pointing out hypocrisies, mainly to people in suburbs, because let's be honest, a lot of people are always talking about, oh, we have to talk about these issues and lay off the Jewish issue because too many people are, you know, they're so comfortable in their lives that they need to be red-pilled, and this is done intellectually. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that most people are red-pilling themselves with just seeing things happen around them. They can see that diversity doesn't work even in their own areas. They can see that how ridiculous feminism has become. All these different heads of this Jewish hydra, they all see this already. But it is entertaining nonetheless to watch. Like you said, Gavin is an entertaining guy. I can sit there and enjoy one of his shows without, you know, sitting there like, ha, 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 but you don't call out the Jew.
Right.
You know, it is entertaining. But, you know, when they get what for, like the rest of us do, I think I can at least hope that it shows them you're going to have to be able to put up and what you're supporting. what you support is more important than what you're fighting. You know, you don't fight because you hate what's in front of you. You fight because you love what's behind you. And these people, I don't think they have anything behind them that they love.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of it. But honestly, you're looking at this situation, and I get what you're saying about the respecting the full spectrum of people, especially with when they're not attacking us. Or arguably, McGinnis has swiped back a few times, though. You know, it goes both ways, but I don't think he's particularly egregious in that regard, the way like Mike Cernovich is. We do need to kind of respect that there's a conveyor belt, though. Kind of the counterpoint to that, and actually Eric Stryker changed my mind about this, is the average guy is a lot smarter than we give him credit for. And he can understand a lot of these big ideas about the Jewish oligarchs at the head of the system. This idea that we constantly have to grind up our ideas into a paste of like the simplest, like, you want less crime and more jobs, then fight communism or fight, you know, leftism. You can actually say fight the Jews. And they're intelligent and they're starting to pay enough attention. And that's really the important thing, is not so much they haven't been intelligent enough this whole time. They haven't understood the urgency of it, and they haven't had access to the information like they do now. So many people, and there's this idea that like the being woke on the JQ is something that only happens after years and years of learning about crime statistics and learning about, you know, illegal immigration and civic nationalism. No, a lot of these people, they read it, they learn themselves up really in just a matter of a few months.
Yes, they do. It really is just a few clicks away to understand the JQ. It's, I mean, even back when, I had AOL dial up when I was in, seventh grade getting my butt whipped by the blacks, you know, it's just a quick, back then, the Yahoo search. To find out what's going on, you know, you go through civil rights for maybe 20 minutes before you land on the Jewish question.
Yeah, hit Alta Vista or Lycos to find out more about the Jew.
It's
we're old.
Oh, no. but yeah, you can just, yeah, if you are interested in why things are happening, the answers are there, and they're just more clear now. The answer's always been there. I found it 16 years ago. And it really didn't take me that long. I was just like, oh, so at the head of all of it is the Jew. At the surface of all of it is all this liberal nonsense. It's really not difficult. And yes, the average person can find it if they're looking for it. And I think more people, whether they're looking for it or not, it's just kind of hitting them in the face now. It's gotten to that point.
Right. Well, I think my problem was I learned within a matter of months about the Jewish oligarchs. I read Professor McDonald. My problem was, after getting woke on it, a whole lot of mentors and experts within the white nationalist community pulled me aside and were like, hey, you know, I agree, but we've got to be clever about it. You know, we've got to avoid that issue because it's dangerous and triggering. And what we want to do is, you know, people aren't smart enough. They're not smart like you and I are. We have to lie to them in order to keep the, you know, to keep them from panicking. Because if we tell them about the Jewish financial and media control networks, that they'll freak out and they'll run away. And it's condescending to ordinary folks. It's blatantly untrue. And if you look at how rapidly the alt-right rose, and you know, the alt-right is rising, and you know, these kinds of things, it's just been completely discredited that we need to be this clever.
Right, and it pushes people like us who are actually trying to get to the bottom of these issues and stand in solidarity with people who are like us away. There's that saying, be careful for when you fight monsters, for you may become a monster yourself. That's the same thing with this Jew that we are fighting. When you're trying to be clever, you're essentially trying to out-Jew the Jew here, and you can't do that. And enough of doing that, enough of trying to out-Jew the Jew, you will gain a lot of their traits. You will become like them, and a lot of us will be pushed away, like in the case of a lot of kosher nationalists. Yeah. I don't get down with them.
We have our own strengths. I mean, it's tantamount to, like, if a burglar is breaking into your home, do you then put on a black cat suit, put some pantyhose over your head, and sneak up on the burglar? No. You're not the sneaky one. You turn on the lights. You sound the alarm. You crackle that shotgun and you chase after him, yelling, "I'm gonna get you." That's the tactical difference. You don't just immediately copy, you know, because we are in a different context. We are the ones being subverted. We're the ones being perverted. We're the ones being manipulated. And when someone's manipulating you, you know, you don't, if you're getting raped, you don't rape the guy back. You start shouting and punching and kicking and raising awareness of the fact that you're getting raped. You know, I mean, I guess if you can rape, that's great. But, you know, it's just not. These people, they think they're so freaking clever.
I don't know that Milo would get that analogy.
I don't know.
What does he say?
I don't know if it's possible to rape Milo, because you would have to have a withdrawal of consent. anyway, it's a good day for Milo. It's a good day for us, too. It's a good day for everybody, but the homosexuals, transsexuals, minorities, and Democrats who are going to be electrocuted. I mean, it'll be good for them because after the electroshock anti-gay therapy, they'll be straight again, right? So,
well, yeah, I mean, the siren stopped. That means we don't have any more gays in Indiana. They've all been removed. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Indiana's the first state. Yeah. If you're not in Indiana, if you're in surrounding states, don't give any of your homosexual friends or relatives a heads up. It needs to happen. It's... It's terrifying watching these goons in masks breaking into their homes and dragging them out into the vans. It startles me too. You know, we talk about these ideas, and then when they're actually being rounded up and thrown in vans to be electrocuted, it's terrifying. But you know, that's what you voted for when you voted for Trump. So
there you go. First, they came for the homos.
Yeah, then they came for the minorities, and they came for the immigrants, and they came for the Jews. Then they stopped coming for people because everything's pretty much wrecked up.
Yeah.
We had Mayberry again, so it was all good. So, yeah, if you could out there, people, just really soak up this win and let's look forward to how we can keep fighting. You know, our work isn't over, but for the love of God, as an old school white nationalist who spent years and years and years without, you know, forward motion, let's just have a great day, soak up these wins, you know, say something nice to an alt-light or a Republican guy on your Facebook wall, you know, just enjoy the solidarity here and, you know, do some trolling of some crying leftists and liberals.
Yeah, make some memes, post something dank, just be dank.
So now with our very first podcast, and we'll try to have Heimbach back here on Monday, so you won't have to hear me so much anymore. I know it's been a rough week for all the parrot haters out there.
Well, you suck.
I do. I'm just holding down the fort, and Heimbach will be back on Monday. So thank you all, and thank you, Jason, for being an excellent co-host, and hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.